So how you been, man?
Not too bad, man. Hanging in there, of course, with the quarantining my ass off right now.
So are you out of work now, or are you?
Oh no, we're still working. My company is bound and determined. I think I might have told you what I've been able to gather is their philosophy right now is to steal as many of the competitors' contracts as possible while not worrying about the safety of their employees.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I saw somebody else posted a thing about them, and then Andy forwarded it forward and was like, these people suck.
They actually admitted that they've been calling contracts that we've lost to competitors to let those people know, hey, we're still working if y'all want to come back. That's the end goal, pretty much.
Wow. Whoever dies with the most toys wins, right? All right, let's see. Let's get this thing started. All right. What's up, dude? It is episode 150 of the Scary Dad Podcast, and looks like we're back.
We're back. That's right.
It's been five months. God.
Don't call it a comeback because we've been here the whole time, just been kind of laying low.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot to talk about because the world kind of 1-2 punched everybody a little bit in the last little bit. So
it was like several punches in a row and leading into a throat punch is what we ended up getting finally. So
oh dude, I haven't even talked to you. I talked to you what, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
3 days ago? Yeah. I got another one. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah, trust me, we've got plenty of coronavirus stuff and pandemic stuff to talk about for sure.
Dude. So this is going to be obviously reminiscent of all of our most fun favorite 80s horror stuff. So this one will be episode 150. It'll be a two-part episode entitled Scary Dad Lives. Because they killed us. They tried to bury us. There's actually been a sort of revival somewhere in between that didn't work out. And we're Scary Dad Lives.
So, we've reached that point of zombie Scary Dad.
Exactly.
Friday the 13th.
Like, you can't take us down. You can take parts of us out, but not the whole thing. So the podcast relaunch and the quarantine edition, again, a two-part episode. So stay tuned. This is going to be fun. But first, we got to get back into the old routine. So I'm going to introduce Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
Okay, so the world's looking for some good news. So on this date in 1808, John Jacob Astor incorporates the American Fur Company, and he eventually becomes the nation's first millionaire.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty awesome. Now, there were some folks before that were that had that kind of wealth, but they were British citizens prior to the Revolution, and some of them lost some of their estates, some of them kept their estates, but this is the first self-made millionaire that started a company and made his bank. So that was pretty cool. On this date in 1869, celluloid is patented. Well, that's film. That's what film's made out of. So we kind of needed that in order to watch all of our cool, scary movies.
Exactly.
This is kind of interesting. This is kind of like the power of a law. Like so many people with this whole quarantine thing is being like, so can the government do that? And the answer is, on this date in 1896 in Athens, the first Olympic Games... the first modern Olympic Games occurred since the Games were banned by Roman Emperor Theodosius I 1,500 years before.
Oh, wow.
Nope, no more of this. And then 1,500 years later, they're like, do you think it's safe to try?
People don't realize the government can pretty much do whatever they want. It's just how we react to it is what's going to
exactly
change their opinions or their minds of what to do.
Well, then, you know, this date in 1917, the U.S. declares war on Germany. World War One. So this pandemic that we're dealing with now, you know, the Spanish flu, that was at the end of World War One. So it's just right. One of those, like, oh God, come on. At least with as bad as things are, at least we don't have like everybody dead and dying in trenches at the same time, you know?
Yeah. It could be piled on pretty quick if certain circumstances were to arise.
Exactly. And then, in lighter news, still scary, on this date in 1974, ABBA wins a song contest with Waterloo, and it launches their career.
Let's celebrate.
Okay, we had a very, for our return to new and old business, this is a weird one. So just wait as I count down the lists of the births and deaths, and you're going to be like, wait a second. I literally had to turn my page back a couple times and make sure that I wasn't. So on this date, April 6th, notable births. In 1483, Raphael, the artist, not the Ninja Turtle.
Okay, just double check.
Yeah. So he was born on this date in 1483. In 1937, country superstar Merle Haggard was born. Also on this date, 1937, Lando Calrissian, Mr. Billy D. Williams was born.
Billy D. Williams.
He was just in The Rise of Skywalker, too. So, he's still out there. And in 1969, the guy who died sometime in the 90s and just never rotted, Mr. Paul Rudd. Because that dude looks younger now than he did whenever he was a teenager.
He has not changed at all, man. It's crazy.
So, let's see here in notable deaths. On this date in 1520... Raphael, the artist, not the Ninja Turtle. he died on his birthday.
he timed that pretty well, didn't he?
On his date in 1528, artist and engraver Albrecht Dürer. You might know him if you've seen any of those cool old goth engravings of like biblical, like he did illustrations for the inside of Bibles, and then like a whole lot of heavy metal artists use them for like these woodcuts and stuff for pictures on album covers and stuff. But if you Google Albrecht Dürer, it's like really these really, really detailed engraving. Like he illustrated Dante's Inferno. So he's got all these really cool detailed drawings and wood relief cuts of angels and demons. All right, this date in 1992, we lost sci-fi writer Isaac Asimov.
And enjoyed his work very, very much, man. I used to love Isaac Asimov. Read a lot of it.
This date in 2014, Mickey Rooney. He's not really of our time, but he was just kind of always there. He's very much Disney.
Yeah, we all knew who he was.
On this date in 2015, we lost Mr. Ray Charles.
Iconic.
On this date in 2016, we lost country superstar Merle Haggard.
Another one that timed it right.
He timed it right, too. And in 2017, we lost Don Rickles, comedian. So, but yeah, Raphael and Merle Haggard ended up on both lists this year.
Yeah, this is pretty crazy, man.
Merle Haggard would probably not even landed on this list, but that's why I said I had to turn back, because I'm like, notable births, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, notable deaths. Wait, what? Let me scroll back up here, like, did I miss something? All right, so this is the part where we normally would take a commercial break and be right back, so that's what we're going to do right now, so...
Dude, do you want to see something really scary?
It's like when you're sitting at home late at night reading some scary story or something and the dog just hops up and like runs out of the room for no reason.
Definitely check under the bed at that point.
So who said it best? Rob Zombie or Samuel L. Jackson?
That's a tough one.
Welcome to Bright Night.
Hey, this is Billy.
And this is Scott.
And this is the Scary Dad Podcast.
Join us as we talk about all things scary.
Imagine, dude, if you were still conscious for a few seconds, knowing your head was no longer attached to your body.
So, have you ever played around with a Ouija board?
You know, no, I haven't. And in like true Poltergeist fashion, it was built on a graveyard.
Oh, man. If it's scary, cool, or something we find just plain interesting, we talk about it.
Every Monday, available on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher Radio, and on our website at scarydad.com.
Truly.
All right. So how's it feel being back, man?
Oh, it feels great, man. I've been missing this very much. I gathered so much new business over the time we were off. Most of it isn't new anymore.
Right.
So I had kind of set a limit to only go back to February. So hopefully things will be fairly fresh. Might have some things that people haven't heard about, but we shall see.
Nice.
Mr. Gomez?
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay. We'll start off with, this is an article back from February, but it's one of the ones that I definitely wanted to talk about. I'm not sure if you were aware of this, but in is Harlingen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Texas, the city? Okay. In Harlingen, Texas, 48-year-old Paul Houston decided to take a nap while he was at work. He had been working for 16 hours straight, and he got kind of tired. And unfortunately for Mr. Houston, he works at a Texas funeral home and cremation service company. And he went ahead and decided to take a nap on one of the stretchers. And he must have been sleeping pretty hard because one of his fellow employees mistook his body for the corpse of a 52-year-old car accident victim and brought him over to the crematory and stuck him in the ovens where he ended up being killed. Someone heard him screaming for about 15 seconds, and it didn't take long for the 1,400 to 1,800 degree Fahrenheit flames to reduce his body into ashes. Got a couple of questions about this story.
Right.
When you work in a funeral home crematorium, it's not like you're working at the Amazon warehouse where there's like 600 employees. There's maybe, what, four of you there?
Right.
You would think it'd be pretty easy to recognize your coworkers after a certain amount of time, but apparently I'm really, really wondering if this was just a case of somebody wanted to kill somebody,
right.
So stuck him in the crematorium. At the time, they were thinking about filing criminal charges against the employee that caused his death. He's probably going to be accused of criminal negligence causing death, so we shall see how that turns out for him.
You know, it's weird, though, because, like, this apparently happens a lot more. Like, not crematory, like, not getting burned up in a crematory, but, like, whenever I had my knee scoped, like, several years ago, and it was my right knee. My right knee was MRI'd, my right knee was what was looked at, my right knee was what was everything. Dude. When I showed up to the clinic to get it done, I had no fewer than like 12 people come in and ask me which knee I was getting fixed, and they marked it with Sharpies like three or four different times. And I'm like, man, how often have they like scoped the wrong knee or the wrong elbow or whatever
right.
it is? Like, how often has, you know, we trust these people to some certain degree that, and I'm not saying that doctors and funeral home workers are the same, but certain competencies are expected in certain industries.
Right.
You don't expect, but you know, I guess it's pretty easy. You're like, well, you know, like go hit up gurney number four, and you walk up, you glance at gurney number four. There's a stiff on the gurney. He ain't moving. You just shove it in the oven and turn it on. Like
that reminds me of a scene in Preacher season two. They're in New Orleans on Bourbon Street, and there's two city employees driving around, each one in their own cart. And one of the carts is labeled dead, and the other cart is labeled drunk. And as they find passed out people on Bourbon Street, they zap them with a cattle prod. And if they jerk, if their nerves end up jerking, they put them on the drunk cart. And if they don't move at all, they put them on the dead cart, which is pretty funny. All right, moving on to... You know, this quarantine will probably be lasting for a while, so you may be looking at ideas of how to entertain the family. And a couple of new one was just released, we just found out about. The other one's been around for a little bit, but there's a couple of interesting board games that will be coming out. And one of them is, I don't know if you heard about, but the officially licensed Friday the 13th board game is going to be released this summer.
I will officially buy that.
No doubt. So, yeah, there's going to be a... board game coming out, some of the players you can play as. There's the the stereotypical nerd camp counselor, the partier, the nice guy, the final girl, the diva, and the jock are the two the characters that you can choose for this survival game. It sounds like it's going to be pretty neat, actually. You only have strategy and supplies to keep you alive, but the odds of returning safely to the camp get slimmer with every turn. Steal supplies from your friends, take them with you to the cabin, or keep what you find and wait out the night till the last one standing. So it sounds like it's going to be a pretty cool little game. Maybe six different player boards, one cabin board, critical supply cards, backpack cards, fear cards. It sounds like it's going to be a pretty neat little game. And like I said, it's the official Friday the 13th Horror at Camp Crystal Lake board game.
Sweet.
So look for that. And to follow that up, they're also going to – they're coming out with a Garbage Pail Kids Monopoly game, which is going to be pretty awesome. As you know, I'm a huge Garbage Pail Kids fan from when I was young to the point where I felt as though it was important enough. In the third grade, we had a project we had to do for Halloween in our gifted class, and the one I chose was to write my own will. We wrote the will, got it certified and everything with the courthouse, and my will actually gives my Garbage Pail Kids collection to my cousin Mark. So yeah, I was a huge guy. I'm really looking forward to this Monopoly game. So, all right, moving on. In a recent interview, Mr. Paul Rubens, who was a favorite of the podcast for sure, he wants to bring Pee Wee Herman back, but not as the character you remember him. What he's trying to do is set up a movie entitled The Pee Wee Herman Story, in which it will be a lot darker than what we used to see with Pee Wee Herman. In this story, Pee Wee will be sent to a mental hospital where he's going to receive shock therapy for his alcoholism. okay, according to his description...
I think the first appearance of Pee Wee Herman, not stage, but I'm talking like first movie appearance of Pee Wee Herman was in that Cheech and Chong where he's under the Cheech table doing coke.
No, actually, it was even before then. It was what was the one after Up in Smoke?
Next movie.
The movie. Next movie. He has his cousin Red there, and they go to the comedy club with the rich family that they met. You may remember. Mm-hmm. It's an open mic night, and the first comedian on stage is Pee Wee Herman in his character. They had introduced him as Pee Wee Herman.
Okay.
So that's actually the first appearance was in that particular Cheech and Chong movie.
But he was certainly not he was turned into a kid show
after that stage production that they had, that adult stage production.
With Pee Wee's Playhouse sort of thing. But Paul Rubens as Pee Wee was certainly a it's kind of like Bob Saget. Bob Saget needed not be a TV dad in an 80s family comedy. Bob Saget was raunchy as hell.
Dude, if you listen to his stand-up was raunchy as hell, man. I definitely remember
And his response to it was like, well, I mean, I never pulled any punches. I just stood there and told jokes, and they approached me and said, hey, do you want to do this show? I'm like, okay, fine, right? But Pee-wee, dude, like, I mean, I grew up with Pee-wee. We all loved him. I've got a Pee-wee Herman doll sitting over here on the shelf.
I got one myself, so you know how much my kids even love. They're big Pee-wee Herman fans. I bought them the box set of Pee-wee's Playhouse when they were young so they could go ahead and watch. Pee-wee's awesome. But according to him, with this movie, it would follow the title character after his incarceration. Pee-wee emerges from prison to become an unlikely yodeling star. this is like an actual thing that he wants to put together. Then he moves to Hollywood, becomes a movie star, and develops a severe pill and alcohol addiction that turns him into a monster. And he'd like to use de-aging technology like they used with Samuel Jackson and Captain Marvel to make him look younger. So
that's awesome.
He's referred to it as the Valley of the Dolls Pee-wee movie. So he's looking for
backing.
For financing and backing right now. It is rumored that he's looking at he's shopping the script around. He's looking at a $15 million budget, and there's actually what he says a deep-pocketed superfan who has agreed to put up like $10 million towards the film if he can get the rest of the money covered. So hopefully we may one day see the Pee Wee Herman story.
Nice.
Somewhere. Okay. You probably never heard of a city called Crowley, Louisiana, but there's a small town in Louisiana called Crowley, and they recently implemented a curfew from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. in their town during this quarantine. Well, the first sign of the curfew The way they went ahead and let everybody know is an hour before curfew started, the police department rode around town broadcasting the alarm signal from the Purge. And apparently it freaked everybody out to the point where the police chief came out and said it won't happen again and apologized for utilizing that to let people know to stay their asses inside. But could you imagine all of a sudden the Purge siren starts going off outside your house? Okay, and finally, I decided to go ahead and dredge up one of our old friends, but Will Greenlee has gotten a promotion.
All right.
He is not only doing the Off the Beat series, he's actually doing serious articles now. But apparently every once in a while they let him go ahead and do a Off the Beat, which he recently did. So we're going to go ahead and visit with our friend Will Greenlee from the TC Palm down in Florida. This particular Off the Beat, Trump name makes illegal drugs great again. Okay, so article goes, Donald Trump's name is on everything from skyscrapers to golf resorts. And recently they spotted it in a less posh place on a pill of the illegal drug MDMA. Deputies reported stopping a Hyundai sedan. You'll see whenever we get to Will Greenlee territory. They stopped the Hyundai sedan at Southwest Trail Drive. Investigators said the vehicle had been traveling 72 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone, which is one of the rules of being a drug mule is you try to go the speed right. limit if you can. The driver and passenger, both 27, said they were going to a music festival in Okeechobee County. Deputies said the Hyundai smelled of marijuana. Marijuana is also known as weed, trees, pot, ganja, chronic, chiba, reefer, jolly green, dope, bud, spliff, grass, herb, and a myriad of other terms. And I'm wondering if it's really a myriad of other terms, because he pretty much went through all the terms that you could possibly use to talk about marijuana. They reported finding various drugs, including alprazolam, cathinone, and marijuana. Among the items investigators linked to the driver, a Miami resident, was a pill with Trump on one side and President Donald Trump's face on the other. You'll love this excuse. The driver originally stated it was a Flintstones vitamin. But later he admitted it was possibly MDMA. Yeah, so that's our Will Greenlee for the day. I wish they would demote him back to being just off the beat guy so we can get some better stories, but we'll see how that ashes out with old Mr. Green. I'll leave it at there. The rest of the new business I have is pretty much coronavirus stuff. So
I'm sure there's a lot of it.
We can say what I've been kind of gathering is there are so many conspiracies behind coronavirus right now.
Yes.
It is. Every day I see a new one. I saw a new one right before we started recording, as a matter of fact. That's just everybody has their own ideas of what's going on.
Well, we'll talk about it. So, cool. Well, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Mayday. Mayday. Send the beauty forward. This is U.S. Station 31. You read me? Found something in the ice. We need some help down here. Can anybody hear me? We found something. We found something.
Men have just discovered something. For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it. Or hear it. Or feel it.
I know I'm human. Some of you are still human. This thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation. It'll fight if it has to. But it's vulnerable out in the open. If it takes us over, then it has no more enemies. Nobody left to kill it. And then it's won.
You guys gonna listen to Gary? He can beat one of those things!
All right, so we're back. Whatever product or service that was, you should buy it. All right, so let's see here. We had a couple little brief chat at the beginning, but where you saw us last when we went kind of took a break. Our break was supposed to last for a couple weeks. It was never intended to be this long, and we realized that, you know, like we even joked, like different bands have said they're on hiatus and then they never get back together, and then 8 of their members die, and there was only originally 4 of them, and you know, like it's not the same thing. But what happened is basically the lead up, the run into our Halloween show, which happened at the end of September this year, kept us quite busy. It was a tremendous undertaking, and right around the time of the show, we both kind of just hit a wall. It was like both physically, financially, spiritually, we're just like, man, I'm exhausted. Yeah, let's take a couple weeks off. Let's just skip next week's episode. We'll take a couple weeks. Well, kind of around the same time, I got this grunge. I was starting to not feel real well. And what I was having was like this kind of constricted throat. From time to time, whenever I would talk, I wouldn't feel this in like my nose or anything, but like in my neck, I would feel that constriction that feels kind of like you're going to cry, or like when you get hit with the, you know, like hitting the nose, or you get water up your nose and your neck closes up. And then if I would try to push through it, then I would lose my voice altogether and go to a whisper, and then it would kind of hurt. So I went to the doctor. This was back in like November. So October-ish, November-ish. Try to get with Scott a couple of times to do the show, and every time I would think I was going to, then I'd lose my voice. I'd be like, yeah, we got to push it off for another couple of days. Went to the doctor. They were like, you've got allergies. Here's a allergy pill. Never changed anything. So in December, I go to ear, nose, and throat, and that doctor talked to me for a few minutes and then goes, hey, we're going to stick this scope in your nose and see what's going on. He stuck a scope in my nose and was like, cool, when do you want to schedule surgery? You've got a massive polyp on your vocal cords, and it's not going away, so we need to get that thing out of there. So that was mid-December, and going into the holidays, you know, I was going, like, everybody's going doing their thing, so I scheduled it for early January. Early January, I go in for surgery on the 9th, and then I was not allowed to talk for a minimum of 2 weeks. And then my recovery was such that he's like, yeah, you know, it was a little bit bigger than, it was pretty big. It'd been there and there for like probably 10 years and growing. Not cancer, thank God. Like everything came back clean, but it was still just, and this happens. It happens to singers and screamers and talkers and salespeople and smokers, which I used to do a lot of, not so much anymore, but still. Right, so my recovery, instead of 2 weeks, kind of pushed into the 4-week period. So this puts us kind of towards the end of February,
right?
At this point, and right at the beginning. So I came back to work off medical leave the 2nd of March, and then the global pandemic started. Everybody went into quarantine. It's like, okay, well, fine. We're in quarantine. Scott and I can start hitting up on Skype. Hey, Scott, what's up? He's like, I'm moving. Ha! Like, give me a week or two, and we can figure this out. So, for those of you who thought we just kind of went our separate ways, and we've actually been quite in touch. We've been talking about,
yeah, we've been communicating about, and everything, and keep it up and
what we want to do and moving forward. We do have space booked for Scary Dad for this year. Like everything's. I mean, other than not being able to go outside and play with friends or see each other in person, things around our campfire have been relatively normal. But that's what happened to Scary Dad Podcast, was half of us couldn't talk and the other half was busy just trying to keep everything going. So now we're back, and hopefully we can continue our weekly, you know, we can restart and get our weekly game on the way we have in the past. But so since, what is it, you know, October, what have you been up to, man? Let's tell everybody what's been going on.
A little bit of everything, man. Still, we're still working during this pandemic, of course. It's funny. I was looking at a list that San Antonio had put out of what are essential businesses and what are non-essential businesses. And when you look at this list, these aren't exact numbers, of course. There's like 50 different types of essential businesses and maybe 10 types of non-essential. Mm-hmm. So pretty much they're doing everything they can to keep as many people as possible working. And we're actually hiring right now and everything. So just staying busy with work, trying to get the kids back on a schedule that is normal, which has not been easy because everybody's sleep schedule has been adjusted with, you know, spring break started, what, a month ago? Yeah. And it hasn't stopped yet. You know, it's pretty crazy trying to keep up with the Zoom training, with school and everything. It's just it's truly been life changing when you think about it.
Dude, it's been crazy. So we just finished week three. So I'm in face to face sales, and whenever they started talking about social distancing, I was like, yeah, I'm getting a little scared. I'm gonna go home and see if there's not some kind of report I can pull that'll keep me from having to be out in the field. And a couple of days after that, they sent us to work from home, but I'm still working. Like I'm working from home. My wife's working from home, and like I got kids in kindergarten and third grade, and so they send their study guides home, and trying to keep them on a schedule. Not necessarily like I don't really care if you're working from X time to the Y time, but just do some work and not be completely brain dead by the TV every day. Right before the apocalypse happened, my wife got a puppy. So I'm thinking that that my relationship to dogs is very akin, like there's a correlation between really bad things happening and dogs being around me. Because a year ago, we had this experiment. So my wife said she wanted to get a dog, and I was like, no, because our other dog's too old and, you know, whatever. Well, we got this dog, and the very next day, my daughter spent a week in the hospital. My other daughter got the flu. Our water heater went out. A tree fell down in our front yard. It was just like, I mean, this all dominoes fell on us. So we got rid of that dog, right? So,
hey, good times once it gets started. Once you made that sacrifice, the dog, everything is fine.
Oh well, let me tell you what's happening now. We went to the rodeo chili cook-off, right? Next morning, we picked up a dog. 2 days later, they announced global pandemic or whatever, like whatever it was before global pandemic, but stay-at-home orders. The world starts going into chaos. So what's been happening? Well, first of all, the world's gotten a disease. I wake up like our second or third day of work from home, and one of the children tells me the TV's broken. So TV's broken. I've got one sitting right. Look, it's the old TV. Like, there's a new TV, so I had to go run around and buy a new TV. 2 days after that, I broke the stove. Like, how do you break a stove? It's one of those glass element stoves. And I cracked the glass. So then that sucked. Let's see. What happened after that? Oh, Thursday. Yeah, Thursday we wake up to a clogged toilet. And so went to plunge the toilet, and toilet won't unplunge. Then the sink starts backing up, and the bathtub starts backing up. And call the guys out, and they're like, oh yeah, you got a pipe collapsed underneath your house, and we need a tunnel under
shit.
And we're looking at like 40 grand worth of repair. And it's like, this all happened within just like, these are just dominoes that are just keep
right.
I'm like, it's got to be the dog, because like, and then Meg pointed out that our previous dog Scout that we had, she just passed away at Thanksgiving. We got her in 2007, and in 2008, the economy collapsed. Like, dude.
You're not You're not meant to be a dog person.
Maybe not, you know? Like, the dog's sweet. Like, I don't have a problem with the dog, but, you know, sometimes correlation does equal causation. Oh, man. Yeah, so on my notes, I've got the TV, the stove, the kids, the dog. the pipe, the pandemic.
It was what's crazy about this pandemic is I don't foresee any stop to it anytime soon. And my real big concern is just because of the way, you know, I could see the government lifting up the stay-at-home orders just to try to quell the population because people start getting too restless. And then we end up back in the situation again. You know, numbers start going down. Once the numbers start going down, how long should we wait before we say everything's all clear?
Right.
Because you don't want to do it too soon. And then, you know, after this weekend, I don't know if you saw, but there's about to be more stringent restrictions with grocery stores as far as the way they're going to operate. I've literally been having to go to Walmart and a couple of different stores every day. And the reason I've been having to do that is our company can't find supplies for our employees are in a high risk job where there's a high risk for contamination. So we've been unable to get stuff like hand sanitizer and hand soap and gloves in bulk to where we can store it ourselves. So our district managers have been trying to source it ourselves locally. So every day I have to go to Walmart because I can only buy one bottle of dishwashing liquid at a time,
right,
trying to get hand soap from my people so they can wash their hands while they're out. So I've actually been having to go to the store every day. But now they're about to start, even Walmart, I don't know if you saw, Walmart's going to limit to 5 people per every 1,000 square foot that the store is. So there's going to be lines waiting to get in Walmart all of a sudden. There's going to be lines waiting. All the grocery stores are kind of going with the same thing. It's going to get worse before it starts getting better, it looks like. And I'm honestly wondering which cities at this point are we going to see martial law in first?
See, I'm maybe a little bit more optimistic, certainly not pie in the sky, but sort of optimistic because first of all, national media, you know, CNN, all those guys, they're looking for the highest body counts they can possibly find, right? Like they're really, really, really looking to grind down.
Doom and gloom sales for
of course.
That's what they need.
But I've been keeping an eye on certain statistics that shows, like, especially right here in Texas, and it's not really to do with testing because it's more on the death side of things rather than on the contractions. So basically, you and I could both have it and be asymptomatic. We wouldn't be tested. But right, if we're looking statistically that both of us have it, that's 100% of us have it, and neither one of us died, so we've got 100% survival rate. Right.
Right.
So like, if you're looking at numbers, depending on how you're watching the numbers, numbers can tell you all kinds of different things. And I have to do that with my work too, because every now and then we'll pull a report and they'll be like, oh, there's this big blip and it's this and this and this. And you look at the blip and you're like, okay, well, what does this blip represent? And then you go, okay, well, that blip represents, like, it shows what happened on Super Bowl Sunday. There was like a blip, but it didn't. It's an anomaly. It's not really the thing.
Right.
The numbers are beginning to level out globally. In other words, you're not having an exponential increase constantly. It's still growing, but it's not growing as fast as it was growing last week. And it's starting to tick up. And so I don't know that, like, they keep saying it's going to get worse before it gets better. We haven't seen yet if the summer is going to affect it, right? The doom and gloomers sit there and say, well, it's in hot cultures and it's still there, but that was brought there, right? Like, those are cases right, that people brought in, they infected a few people, but your hotter climates are not having it completely go crazy. Will it become a seasonal thing? I don't know. What's going to end up happening, martial law, I'm sure we'll have it in some places, but...
Well, yeah, not everywhere, but I could see a city like New York.
Yeah.
I could see people rioting in New York. I can see that happening. Los Angeles is another hot spot. I could see the potential for that happening in certain clusters.
But see, would you think people would riot and risk exposure? Or would you think people would try to just leave and go somewhere else? Because, I mean, even now, if I'm, like, all pissed off, I'm not going to go stand out with a whole bunch of other sweaty mouth breathers and try to get my point across and get myself shot. I'll just be pissed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Definitely see what you're saying.
So, I don't know. I mean, I know it's not going to be grand, but I also depends on how the supply chains have been running, because I haven't really had that much trouble. Of course, I've been work from home, right? But like Monday, so I went to this grocery store on Monday, and for those of you who are not from here, HEB is kind of our big grocery store chain, and they're local to Texas, and they've been kind of on the front lines of keeping everything straight. I pull around the corner, I go to HEB, they've got a line outside the door, everybody's in masks, it's a regulated line with like armed security. I'm like, dude, this looks frightening. I don't want to go stand in this line. So I just U-turned and went over to Walmart, and doors are wide open. Like, they've only got one door, but you walk in, they're sanitizing things as you pass through. They're handing you a towel to wipe your cart down with. They got all the everything's stocked and everything's right. I go through there and I pick up literally everything off the shelf that I need and go check out, and I've got no problems. So... Right. But we've also got a Kroger, HEB, or a Walmart, or an Albertsons all within a mile of each other. So in those areas where there's not that much, then it's going to be different. So
yeah, we've been staying stocked up, and we have everything we need. You know, I don't foresee any problems with going hungry, especially in the areas that you and I live in. But there's just certain areas that are already prone to crime. You know, as it gets, we've had at work, over the past 2 weeks, we've had two district managers have their truck stolen at night. You know, it's definitely getting worse. We can see an uptick and stuff like that, but we'll see how long it all depends on how long it lasts. People start going stir crazy after a while. You know, people take advantage of situations.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we had that element in our society that.
But the mayor told him to chill.
And I love how they want to let people out of jail, but they're going to arrest people for not obeying orders. All
right,
it's kind of pointless when you think about it. And I, just like you were saying, I honestly think if we had a true idea of how many people are actually sick and infected, because in Fort Bend County, I think I was reading that the most they can test in a day is 100 people. Mm-hmm. There's 80,000 people in Fort Bend County.
Yeah.
It would take almost 2 years to test. So. We have no idea who actually has it, who's actually carrying it. You know, the numbers may be so high of actual infected people that the mortality rate might actually be closer to what it is with influenza.
Yeah.
You know, a very low number. We'll never know if it is or not.
Well, but we'll never know.
It's like we're talking. The media needs it to be as negative as possible.
That's
in order
the
to
thing.
Sell clicks and everything.
That's the thing is, and you know, whenever it comes to a blame game, you know, like I never try to do that. I always try to be as balanced as I can. And, you know, whenever you're watching, but it's like, we don't play political here, but, you know, it's like the president does his daily updates. And a few days ago, my wife's like, do you really want to watch this? I'm like, no, but I'd rather see what he says rather than what everybody says that he says. Because right at the beginning of this thing, he's like, hey, everybody, stay calm. And everybody's like, how can this guy say stay calm? I'm like, what did you want him to say? Like, I saw somebody tweets like, oh, I guess what they wanted him to say was go up the store and buy a bunch of butt plugs because you're about to get fucked. You know? this is not, basically there's two options, stay calm or panic.
And right. when you prefer people stay calm.
You know, don't panic doesn't mean there's not a problem. It means don't burn down your house, right? Like, just chill. Right. And so, like, when they're like, okay, like, anything that anybody says, you know, you have one person that's like, hey, here's some optimistic hope. And there's, like, 1,000 people ready to jump on them and shove them in the crematory because, you know, it's like, you don't know. You're not a virologist. You know, it's like, well, neither are you. Shut up. So, like, everybody went from being economists and political scientists, and now they're all virologists and doctors. And now they're all seamstresses, and with all the masks.
All the masks,
you know, I'm like, dude, I don't know. So I'm just trying to, that's why we started the new podcast. Like, that's, Ricky and I are like, hey, let's talk about fun stuff. So that's why we started the, hey, what's, you know, look what's awesome.
While we're on it, go ahead and talk a little bit about the new podcast and everything, just to let everybody be aware.
Yeah, so it's Ricky from so many podcasts, but primarily from Helming Power Hour and House of Wax and Short Bus. He and I, like, he reached out and we were just texting each other, and then I was like, I was not in a place where it was easy for me to text, so I just gave him a shout, and we started talking about stuff, you know, like, it would be cool if we were to do this or that or whatever, and completely unrelated to podcasting, like, maybe you can come on as a guest host, maybe we can figure this out, maybe we can figure something out, and then we just started chatting, and I was like, man, we should have recorded that, kind of the same way as you and I whenever we first started Skinhead. Yeah, it's like, dude, yeah, if we would have been recording this, we'd have had an episode. So we recorded the first two episodes without having a name. We just, like, if you listen to the first two episodes, I'm like, I don't know if we've named this yet, but you'll find out if you're listening to it, you'll know what the name is. But we call it, You Know What's Awesome. And it's just, it's not genre-based. It's not decade-based. We're not a horror podcast or anything. We're just whatever's awesome. So skateboards, beer, hot chicks, heavy metal, horror movies, you know, nostalgia, whatever we feel like talking about. So we've recorded four episodes. We just released the first three on Friday. I think we're going to record another two tomorrow. And the subjects, we've got a long list of stuff to talk about. And it's not based on anything other than, you know, what's awesome. And so, yeah. Well, once it kind of populates through all the networks, I'll be sharing it and stuff. Right now, it's just up on Legion Podcasts.
Okay.
But yeah, and then we'll probably have some guests on to talk about what they think is awesome. And we'll probably have a couple of revolving co-hosts to talk about what they think is awesome. It's an open forum, and it's really for no reason other than because it's fun. Kind of breathe a little breath of fresh air on this whole everybody's dying sort of situation.
It's a way to get away from the things that make you sad.
Exactly. So, you know, we talked about, and again, we just, like, the first episode, we talked about The Karate Kid. And it's not necessarily a movie review. We were talking about The Karate Kid, but the whole thing was when Karate Kid came out, right, me and my buddies would watch it, and then we'd go outside in the backyard and just kick the crap out of each other. Right, like that was what it was like growing up. You know, it's like every now and then you chip a tooth and just kind of be like, well, I'm probably gonna lose that one anyway, and just, you know, go about your karate day. So, but yeah, if you were a kid in the '80s, man, there was nothing like there was nothing that couldn't be enhanced by having a whole bunch of ninjas just jump out of nowhere, and there was a lot of movies where that happened. Right, so. Those sorts of things. So, yeah, look for it. I don't know that we're going to have a regular release schedule. I think we're going to try to start off with making it weekly, and if that doesn't work, we'll make it bi-weekly. The whole idea is just to have fun. So, that's what's going on. So, you'll be hearing about that as it goes on.
Cool.
Well,
and just to touch on this also, just to bring up this thing that we're kind of involved in is as of right now, of course, as you know, Billy, the Houston Horror Film Festival, as of right now, is still scheduled for June 12th through the 14th. Of course, they're still holding on to the possibility that it will be delayed. It will not be canceled. There are new dates that have already been secured. So if it does have to be postponed, it will be postponed, but it will still be occurring this year in 2020, which we're going to be a part of, including we're going to have some interviews coming up with some of their guests. So sweet. That's pretty exciting for us. So that is still in traction. Make sure you visit HoustonHorrorFilmFest.com for some more information and to keep up with updates as far as the potential for rescheduling. But it's still been exciting just keeping in touch with Troy and Tony over there about that event that we're going to be involved with.
Certainly.
And they're also going to be involved with our Scary Dad show again this year, so it's exciting. It's this I'm not allowing the pandemic to put a dampener on things, but it's a very exciting time for horror fans in Houston.
Definitely.
Because we're working on getting a lot of content for you guys out there to enjoy the fandom throughout the year.
And you know, as an end to this episode, because we're going to just basically hit pause and restart the conversation, but since it's been kind of rolling down, you know, this time has been a time to kind of reflect and you know, be with your families and kind of look around and see who your friends are. And I don't mean like see who your friends are and who your enemies are. I mean like you when you watch your friends, you know, like the event industry is collapsing because of this thing, and you see your friends struggling but yet helping each other out. You know, the ones that, yeah, that are, you know, promoting for one another and still helping and pushing that small business or that restaurant. That's what, from our homes as best we can do, that's what we want to do for our friends in, you know, locally that are in this kind of strange time. So we are definitely going to be promoting the Horror Film Fest and some of the other stuff that's going on here in Houston. We're going to be using our influence and stuff to really make some to help some folks out. So stay tuned on that. So how we doing over there, man?
No, I'm good. I thought I saw a glitch happen, but it's fine.
Okay. Well, I think this one's probably a good time to put a fork in this one. We got a lot more to talk about. That's why this is a two-part episode. Didn't want to let that go into a dark territory, but no, we are going to be, we're monitoring if there's any kind of a postponement or movement, whatever. We're still going to be promoting the hell out of these guys because they've been a great friend of the show, and we're going to make sure that wherever it gets moved to, if it gets moved, that we're going to be there. So,
right.
All right. Well, that was episode 150 of Scary Dad Lives Part 1. And we will see you technically in a few minutes, but here next week for Part 2.
Later.